Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So we've been going through a series on 1 Peter 2:17, which just it's a very simple verse with four main things, right? Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king, right? So 2 weeks ago, Darren taught on honor all people. And then last week, he talked on the first part of love the brotherhood. And we're going to kind of continue talking about that this morning. But before we get into that, we're going to spend some time praying. And I want everybody, we're going to be just everybody pray on their own for the first little bit. And I want you to just kind of take a few moments and really check your heart if you have anything against any like brother and sister in Christ, because we're going to be talking about really caring about the family of God, right? And if you're holding on to a grudge or an issue with a brother and sister in Christ, then Satan is going to use that to make the next hour worthless for you, right? Because he's going to be, the entire time you're going to be thinking about whatever issue it is that you have. So let's take some time and let's hand that over to God. Because it's not our job as Christians to mediate justice. So it could be that someone even wronged you. Hey, let's give that over to God. Let's let God deal with that, and let's come before Him this morning with open hearts to really pursue Him. Okay, so we're gonna take a little bit, and then I'll close this off in prayer. But just pray to God, and hey, praise God. If you have no issue going on with someone else, just praise God for that, and just spend some time just asking Him to soften your heart to His word this morning. So let's just take some time and pray. Lord God, I thank you that Lord, when we were estranged from you, we were estranged from God, Lord, that we had caused that separation because of our sin, Lord, that you were the person who fixed the problem that we made, Lord, that you chose to cross over the rift to us, Lord, even though we were the ones who caused the problem, Lord, you came in and fixed it. Lord, we just thank you for that. We praise you for that, Lord, because we could have never fixed it. Lord, so pray that this morning we would see everything in that light, Lord, that we would just remember your gospel, your truth. Lord, and I pray that we would all have soft hearts. Lord, I pray that your spirit would speak through me, Lord, and that if you have anything different that you want me to say than what I've planned, Lord, that you would just change it, Lord, and that I would be obedient to your spirit to listen to that. Lord, and I pray that as a whole, as a church, Lord, that we would really grow in the understanding of how to really love one another, and in so doing, fulfill the law of Christ. Lord, give us grace this morning to hear and understand. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, 10 years ago, so when I was in high school, so I grew up in a family where my dad was a PE teacher. I joke that he was the most military person that had never been in the military, right? So me and my brother, we grew up playing every sport under the sun, except for baseball for some weird reason. But basically every sport that there was, and my dad made sure that we had memorized the rules of all of them and were really good at them. And when I say like every sport, I mean, I'm talking, we knew how to play badminton and we knew the intricate rules of badminton, right? We had a set, like all of it, right? So my dad was a very athletic individual. If you know running, in his 50s, he was running 19-minute 5Ks. So this is the household that I grew up in, where we were just expected to be athletic, right? So we played all of these sports and everything. But when I got to high school, my dad being a runner, he never really pushed us into that. But I liked running, and I kind of just ended up running cross country, indoor track, track, and swimming. So I lettered 13 times. So that means I was on a varsity team for 13 seasons in my 4 years of high school. I was a captain 9 of those seasons. So like no one at our high school did this, but like you get the letter and like people always, you know, put all of their pins and stuff on there. Like mine was covered, right? And that was my identity, right? Like I was the runner. I was the captain of the cross country team, captain of the track team, captain of the indoor track team, captain of the swim team. You know, like I was all conference, all regional, all state in running, right? Like and swimming, I was all conference and all regional, right? So like I was an athlete. Like that's how I identified myself. When I woke up in the morning, my senior year, our team was expected to win states in cross country and in different events in track, right? So me and a friend of mine would wake up at 4:30 in the morning on Tuesdays and Thursdays to run 3 miles before we went to school. Then we went to school. We had a specific what we would eat and everything of that sort because we had a goal, a mission. We were going to win states, right? Then afterwards, we went to cross-country practice and ran another 5 to 8 miles. The summer before my senior year, I ran 800, and I think it was around, used to know the exact number, but it was like around 830 miles that summer preparing for the cross-country season. So I identified myself at the very core. I was a runner. I was an athlete, right? And the interesting thing is that I was a Christian second, right? First and foremost, I woke up every morning and thought of myself as an athlete. And God, you know, God will use us even when we're not perfect and everything of that sort. But I look back because I had identified myself so much in this way that our senior year, we went in, we were supposed to win states, we were the favorites, we were crushing it the entire season. And our number two runner, who was the fourth fastest person in the state, and our number two guy was fourth fastest in the state, had the worst race of his career and ended up 45th. In states. We lost by 20 points. So it's basically based off your position. So we should have won by 25 points, but we lost by 20. My identity, because it was so much wrapped up in this, it crushed me, right? Totally crushed me. And because of that, I realized I need to change my identity. Now you're probably thinking, wait a minute, we're supposed to be talking about honor the brotherhood. What does this have to do with any of that? And I think that for us, if we really or love the brotherhood, if we really want to love our brothers and sisters in Christ, it starts with our identity, right? We need to change our identity. We need to change our very, the way that when we wake up in the morning and we think, we need to change how we think about ourselves. Because if we don't change how we think about ourselves, we can all do actions. We can all copy how to love other people in situations and everything that sort. But at some point, if our identity isn't changed, that will fail, right? And we are going to unlovingly act. So we need to change our identity. And the best example of this is Jesus, right? So we're gonna look at what identity Jesus had for himself. Jesus, who was fully God, when he woke up in the morning, what did he think about himself? And I'm gonna make the case that he thought of himself as a servant, right? And so if you write down one thing from today, it is I am a servant of the Most High God, and therefore I am servant of everyone, right? And that seems like a very, I don't want to say harsh statement, but that's a hard statement, right? But we're going to look at scripture and how Jesus believed this was true, and he also expected us to believe that this was true. So we're talking about 1 Peter 2:17. Well, we're going to go back just one verse, 1 Peter 2:16. Act as free men and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. Right? So our culture has no idea what a bond slave is, so we're going to actually look at the definition of a bond slave in Deuteronomy and then talk about that. So in Deuteronomy 15, 12, and 16, it talks about, well, 12, 16, I think there's a few more verses actually, that talks about what does it mean to be a bond slave, okay? So if your kinsman, a Hebrew man or woman, is sold to you, then he shall serve you 6 years. But in the seventh year, you shall set him free. It shall come about if he says to you, I will not go out from you because he loves you and your household, since he fares well with you. Then you shall take an awl and pierce it through his ear into the door, and he shall be your servant forever. And you shall do likewise to your maidservant. I don't, might not have put, okay, cool. 17 is there. Okay, cool. So bond servant was basically, so back in those days, right, if you wanted something and you didn't have the money to do it, you would basically employ yourself to someone. In the sense that you would say, hey, if you give me the money to be able to go out buy this land, I will work for you for 5 years or you know however many years, right? So you would, so when they talked about a servant or a slave, it was someone who, it was more like an employment in the Hebrew culture, talking very specifically about that, right? And so during that time period, your employer could trade you off to someone else for the resulting payments, right? And so they're talking about how to deal with that. Well, at the end, like, let's say you've worked for somebody and you've fulfilled your time period, and you so basically your debt is gone, right? So you had a debt, you worked to pay it off, and your debt is gone. But you're like, you know what? This situation, I love it. I love working for you, and I want it to continue. And so what would happen is they would mark your ear, they would pierce your ear with an awl, which was just for this purpose. And that was basically a way of publicly saying to everyone else, I am going to be this person's servant forever. I think it's interesting. He shall be your servant forever. Throughout the entire New Testament, different authors of the New Testament, James, Peter, Paul, like all these people, they would use this word bond servant or bond slave to describe themselves with Christ. So they were saying, I am Jesus's servant forever. Right? And I have chosen to do that, right? The master couldn't say, you know what? I like this. I like you working for me, so I'm going to make this permanent. They didn't have the ability to do that. Only the servant could, right? So let's start off. To be a servant of Christ, we have to make that choice. It is our choice, but we need to make it, right? All of the New Testament authors, they identify themselves. I love the beginning of James. James, a bondservant of Christ to the 12 tribes dispersed abroad, right? He's like, this is my identity and I'm proclaiming it, right? That was his way of like the all, like piercing his ear was he would talk about himself. I am a bondservant. That's how I'm going to describe myself. It wasn't James, the brother of God, because he was Jesus's brother. He wasn't like, hey guys, yo, I share the same mom as Jesus. Right? He was like, I am my servant's, or my brother's servant forever. Like, that's pretty humbling, right? Like, that was how he identified himself to a whole bunch of people. So we need to really think about this as our identity, right? We wake up in the morning and go, I'm a servant of God, therefore I'm a servant of others, right? That's humbling. That's really humbling. So we're going to talk about this a little bit more. Philippians 2, 1 through 8. Therefore, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of men. Being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Right? Jesus set this example. Right, he had the full authority of God, the full power of God on this earth. Yet he chose to humble himself and go to the cross for us. We could not be reconciled to God if it wasn't for what Jesus had done. Right, he chose to take upon our sin so that we might have the righteousness of God. Right, He chose to humble himself. God himself said, I will take the wrath that all of us deserve so that you won't have to, right? He humbled himself. He considered others as more important than himself. He considered the world more important than himself, right? He could have, on the cross, said, I'm God, and just come right off, and a legion of angels with him, and just wiped out the Roman Empire like that, right? He had every right to, right? Like, he could have done that, but he chose a different path. You know, it's interesting. The Jews at the time, when they were waiting for their Savior, you know, when Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, they have him on a donkey. They're like saying Hosanna and everything of that sort. They're thinking he's coming as a conquering king. They're like, sweet, he's going to overthrow Rome. We're going to ride around and we're going to be his like posse. This is going to be great. We're going to be the new rulers of the world, right? And he flipped that idea on the head. And guess what? The Jews were the ones who killed him. It wasn't the Romans. It was the Jews, right? It's because they were looking for a totally different type of leadership. Jesus says, you want to lead? You want to care about others? You serve. Luke 22, 25 through 27. So this is, he's just done communion with his disciples. This is before he's going to go to the cross. And it's interesting. He says, and so some of the disciples are arguing about, so basically Jesus is like, hey, I'm going to go die. The disciples are kind of arguing about who's going to take Jesus' place. They're like, all right, but which one of us is the best? Which one of us is going to like be top dog when Jesus is gone, right? Like, think about that. Like, you're like, you just told your closest friends, like, hey, I'm about to go through something really rough, and it's going to take me out, right? He's talking about death completely, but like, you know, it might take you out of commission or something like that. And your friends immediately start turning around. They're like, okay, so once he's gone, who gets to be the head honcho now, right? Like, that would be pretty hurtful, right? Like, that would be pretty hurtful. But let's see how Jesus responds. He says, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who have authority over them are called benefactors. But it is not this way with you. But the one who is the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like the servant. For who is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as the one who serves. Jesus is trying to make them really understand that you want to lead, you serve. You put others' interests before your own, right? In this moment, he didn't get all mad because they weren't caring about what he was going to go through. He was like, you need to understand what it is that it means to really lead others. It means to serve, right? And Jesus demonstrates this, John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Jesus laid his life down for you, for me, for the world, right? Jesus served the world. We should have that attitude too. So Galatians 5:13. Once again, this is very similar to 1 Peter 2:16. For you are called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. So once again, you know, when we come to know Christ, right, we are free, right? You know, we no longer have the chains of sin. We have a new identity. We are placed into the family of God. And in many ways, like think about it, like in this, right? I'm terrible at remembering names. But there's a woman who just married somebody in the royal family of England.
Meghan Markle.
Thank you. That one, right? And so she just married into like the royal family of England, right? And so she now gets the privileges of being a English royalty, right? And she wasn't English at all. Like, so she gets the privileges of being English royalty and everything that comes with it, right? People are following her around. They, like, she was famous before, now she's like really famous, right? You know, and she gets the privileges of all of that and everything that comes with it. And sometimes we can think about that with Christianity. It's like, okay, hey, I've got God on my side. That means that I get to do what I want. And in these two verses, you know, 1 Peter 2:16 and Galatians 5:13, it says, hey, yeah, you do have freedom. You have the freedom now to set aside everything else and care about others. You have the freedom through with my spirit in you, you can care about others in a way that you were never able to before, right? You can do actions that are loving, but now you have the definition of love in you. God is the definition of love. He is in you and he can work through you, right? So that's how we should see our freedom. We have the freedom from sin to serve and care about others. John 12, 23 through 26. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it in eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will also be. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." Right, so once again, Jesus is very clear about what he is desiring his disciples to know. So it's interesting. Jesus says, "My work is finished," before he goes to the cross. So he had kind of two different things. He had an on earth work, and he had an eternal mission. The cross and him rising from the dead was his eternal mission, right, to save us from sin. But he had an on earth work, which was to raise up the disciples and teach them a different understanding of how to reach the world. It wasn't through domination. It wasn't through the world's way of leadership. He is trying to build into them very clearly, you are a servant, right? Like he uses serve and servant, that word, so often. If you go back and just read the Gospels, right, Jesus is so interested in us being servants and serving one another, right? And he's saying, like, hey, I understand what this means. It means that your life, you die to your own desires, right? He says, if anyone who loves this life loses it. But if he's saying, if you die to yourself, you bear much fruit, right? So like we have to die to ourselves. And I'll tell you, this is hard. I feel pretty confident I can say there were certain days where, like, the first 70% of the day, I feel like God was working in me to have the spirit of a servant. I feel pretty solid, like, I can say that, right? But there came that time where I was done doing work or whatever of that sort, and I'm come home, and I'm like, awesome, I've been serving all day, now it's my turn, right? Like we all have that, right? Now it's my turn, right? I've been doing all of this work. Now it's turn for someone else to serve me. I'm going to kick up. I'm going to relax. I'm going to do whatever. But it's interesting that Jesus didn't have that attitude, right? You know, he was right before he was about to go to the cross. He's done all of this, earthly ministry. He's been raising up the disciples. He's been, you know, doing all of this. And he's going through something really hard. And in that moment, he's not like, now it's your turn to serve me. He's still interested in their well-being, in their understanding of truth, right? We should have that mindset. And I'm not saying that it's easy. Like, by all means, this is hard. This is so, so hard. But it's worth it, right? 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. Let a man regard us in this manner, as servants of Christ and as stewards of the mystery of God. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. So Jesus, he's like, hey, you are servants to the world, and I have given you something special. Like, we are stewards of the mystery of God, and we need to be trustful stewards. So that means we need to understand his word, and if we're servants of the world, and we have these mysteries of God, we need to be serving the world by teaching them truth, right? Truth in love. I think this is more about, so we're talking about how to love brothers and sisters in Christ, but this is going to overflow into the whole world. So I'm going to just kind of jump over to that really quick and come back. There's a famous magician pair called Penn and Teller. And they do different magic shows and everything of that sort. And I really enjoy watching their stuff. I love magic stuff. It's fun. They are very staunch atheists, but they like to really understand things. And I'm going to butcher the quote, but get the sentiment right. Basically, they have taken the time to really understand Christianity. And they said that the single most hateful thing, so the opposite of love, single most hateful thing that a Christian can do is to not tell others about truth. And it's like, well, why? Because if we fully believe that Jesus is the only way, and we fully believe that he died for our sins, and that through him we can be reconciled to God, then if we choose to not tell others, we are saying you are not worthy of that, right? We're saying that I have something super precious, and if we choose to just let someone walk by, we're like, and you're not worthy of it. And like, that's what the interesting thing is, two guys who are atheists, who don't even believe that there is a God, understand this. And it's just challenging to me that, like, hey, if we truly want to say that we love others, we need to have that mindset, right? That, like, we have something so, so special, and we should cherish it, and we should not hold it in, right? We have the mysteries of God. Romans 12, 10 and verse 16. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, and give preference to one another in honor. Once again, like, we're giving someone else the right to go first or have their ideals versus ours. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Once again, you have to understand too, like, in the Roman Empire, there was a distinct hierarchy. And specifically, men were given, like, everything that they could want, and women were treated as animals, right? And there was just this disparity. And it's interesting if you read Romans and Corinthians, how Paul is like, no, hey, Christians, you guys are allowing the culture to influence you. Men and women are both the image of God and are equal. And he's like, you do not let culture influence you to tell you differently, right? And so in this, he's like, hey, you have said in your mind, some are greater and some are lower, right? Do not be haughty in mind. He's like, you know, don't be like, oh, well, they're lowly. And, you know, these people are kind of the rich and the nice people or whatever of that sort, right? He's like, don't be wise in your own estimation. Don't make these kind of like, okay, well, hey, they're better and they're whatever. Like, you are to associate with everyone, right? Do not pull yourself away from any group of people. So we are to serve others, not just those who it's nice to serve, right? Galatians 5:26, let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. So we've talked about our identity as servants, right? Like, we need to have that identity. Now we're going to talk about how to actually serve one another. What are the specific things that we can do? And there's a lot of verses in the Bible that are called, like, the one another verses. And it's kind of, how do you treat others? And I encourage you guys, I mean, we got Google. It's pretty great, right? You can just be like, one another verses in the Bible. And you can find all of the verses in the Bible that talk about this, right? I encourage you, do that. Just read them. You know, just be like, all right, hey, I'm going to read, you know, three of these a day. So that's like, what, 30 seconds of your time, right? I'm going to read three of these a day. I'm going to write one down and put it in my pocket. It's pretty easy, right? So start off here. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. So our speech, right? Don't become boastful. Don't puff yourself up. Challenging one another. Don't needlessly bring strife, right? So, like, you know, there's a lot of things that I say a lot that are wrong. I can say wrong things all the time, right? But it's the idea of we need to understand how to lovingly, you know, there might be certain times where if I say something wrong, you should challenge me on it, right? If I'm up here and I say something wrong, especially when it comes to scripture, please challenge me on that. But there's other times where, like, hey, it doesn't matter, right? Doesn't matter at all. Like, let's just skip over it. Like, let's love one another. And let's not envy one another. When someone else has something great happen, are you like, yay, it's cool for you, right? Like, I was a terrible, terrible student when I was in college. And I remember, like, I'd come out of a test and I'm like, crap, failed it again. And someone would be like, oh yeah, I'm pretty sure I aced it. And then we'd find out the results and they got like a 98 and I got like a 45. And I'm like, yay, I'm glad for you. That sucks, right? That's what I was thinking. But you're like, do we really have the mindset of like, hey, yeah, that is awesome for you. Like, you studied. That's awesome, right? Like, that's not how to just have empty platitudes. Like, oh yeah, good job. It's like, oh man, yeah, you really studied. You put in the effort. You put in the work to get that 98. Good job. Like, that was awesome. You Yeah, like celebrate with them. Don't envy other people's success or, you know, whatever it is. Could be someone gets a job and you're still looking. Someone gets into a relationship and you're really wanting to be in a relationship and you don't have it yet, you know. Whatever it is, there's so many things. Like, hey, let's genuinely love others and care about, yeah, like be excited for others, right? Be excited for others. Galatians 6:2. By the way, read Galatians. Like, just read Galatians. Just good, right? You know, like, read through it, find any time that it says another, and just write it down, right? Like, there's going to be a lot of Galatians stuff. So, bear one another's burdens and therefore fulfill the law of Christ. Our society, I saw this the other day, and it's like, yeah, it's so true, right? We wait for someone to finish talking so we can talk, right? You know, you're like, cool story, bro. Let me tell you about what's going on in my life, right? Like, we need to bear one another's burdens. We need to become really effective listeners. We need to know what, like, people are going to say stuff, and we need to, like, be really good at asking questions. We should be like, oh, you know, someone's like, oh, I had a terrible week. Oh, really? Why? What happened? So they'd be like, oh, yeah, me too. Yeah, you wouldn't believe I failed this test or whatever like that. You just immediately turn to yourself. Instead, be like, yeah, wait, what happened? Oh, I failed this test. Oh, like, what class? What, you know, why did you fail? I don't know, man. It's been a rough week. I felt like I was studying a lot, but I just couldn't retain any information. Oh man, hey, like, what class is it? It's physics. Well, hey, I struggled through physics. Like, hey, let's get together. Maybe we can study together and really help. I can help you. I don't know. I'm terrible at physics, but hey, like, maybe we can help each other learn how to get through this, right? Oh yeah, that'd be cool. Hey, well, why don't we do that tomorrow? Why don't we get together? Why don't we get together over dinner and we can eat dinner together and then study together? Yeah. Okay. Cool. Yeah. Like, you want to take the burden that's going on in their life and really be like, okay, hey, how can I come alongside? Right. That's the idea of bearing one another's burdens. Can I come alongside you in what you're doing and really help make you successful? Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Once again, we're talking about the brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, like, we want to love the whole world, but we're talking specifically in this, how to love the family of God, right? And verse 3, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Let's make sure that we're making, the things we're making important are actually important, right? Let's preserve unity. We should care about each other more than we care about small, random ideals that are off on the side, right? Like, of course, there's some central things. Jesus is God. You know, there's only one way to heaven. But there's plenty of gray areas that we could spend so much time arguing and fighting about and everything of that sort. But Jesus he's really concerned with our unity, right? So with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. Patience. That is not a word I would use to describe our society, right? Like, let's just be real. We are not a patient society. We like our things quick. If we have to wait for something, everybody immediately pulls out their phone because you're like, man, I need something to do. I can't just sit around, right? Like, what's that? Like, sitting around? No, like, we're a very, very impatient society. Like, we need to learn how to be patient. Well, how do you learn how to be patient? First, recognize when you're being impatient, right? If someone's talking and you have this burning desire, there's this thing you just have to share that's been happening in your life, right? Okay, oh, wow, I just recognized that. Like, okay, hey, I'm going to put that aside. I'm going to listen. Okay, how do I actively listen? If you guys have ever watched the movie Hitch, it's a pretty humorous movie, but in that, he teaches the guy how to listen, right? It's in the context of trying to get a date and everything of that sort. He's like, don't just be like, listen and ask questions, right? Once again, you want to be an active listener. An active listener is interested in what they're talking about and trying to understand it. So if you don't understand something, hey, you said that. What's going on? Can you tell me a little bit more? Like, we want to learn how to be patient and really love one another in how we talk, right? So interesting. Like, our speech is so, so important in Scripture. Ephesians 4, 25 through 32. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your anger. I'm going to stop right there. And do not give the devil an opportunity. Stop right there. 27. So, we're talking about a few of these things, right? Laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Talking about the love of Christ. Hey, let's speak truth into each other's lives. How do you do that? How do you speak truth into someone's lives? Well, what do we know is true? The Bible, right? Hey, are we building one another up with scripture? Are we saying like, oh man, like you're listening to somebody, you're hearing what's going on in their life, and you're like, hey, so there was this verse that really helped me understand some things when I was going through some hard stuff. Let me share it with you, right? Like, it's good to you know, come alongside somebody, but we want to bring God into the mix, right? Because we want them to feel the love of God, not just the love of ourselves, right? I think it's interesting, verse 26 and 27, it doesn't say, do not be angry. It says, like, there's going to be certain things that are going to cause you to be angry. Be angry, and yet do not sin. That seems like we've kind of counter logical, right? Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not give that devil an opportunity. What he's saying is like, there's going to be things that are going to stir you up, going to tick you off, right? In that moment, you need to go, okay, hey, I was listening to an awesome seminar. Like, if you really want to understand how to deal with emotions, so we have weekly emails that sent out. At the very bottom, Shannon has included a link that goes to Faith Walker seminars. And there's these two, one of our pastors in our association, Tony Pearson, he's been trained on how to really help people deal with emotions, and they're he works with Virginia Tech. There's a church up there, but Virginia Tech reached out to his church and was like, "Hey, we're seeing basically suicidal thoughts skyrocket at our university. We have no idea what to do. We need your help." And so they've been clinically trained on how to really help people deal with emotions. And I was listening to his seminars. There's one on being an effective listener and how to deal with emotions and thoughts. And it is awesome. Go and listen to it. It'll really teach you how to deal with emotions. But so that's what he's saying here. He's like, hey, understand when you're angry. Understand it. Like, then try and find out what's going on. And then don't sin, right? Like, so someone says something that hurts you. You can respond in anger, and then you've sinned. You could get angry and be like, oh man, that hurt, but I'm going to respond in love, right? Like, and you could even tell them, like, hey, what you said just hurt me, right? But the goal is not to hurt them, it's to be reconciled, right? So do not sin. And this is pretty challenging. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. She's like, you can get angry, do not hold on to it. And you need to go to that person or do whatever and solve it today. Like, that's pretty, like, we're a culture of, we like to bottle it up, post about it on Facebook and Twitter about 10 times, you know, like, make sure the world knows that we're pretty ticked off. And then once we've finished doing our passive aggressiveness, then maybe we can talk to the person and, you know, maybe do that, right? But what he's saying is like, hey, you're going to get angry, understand it, go and reconcile yourself with your brother or sister. Right? Like fix that relationship. See, the relationship is more important than the hurt. I think that's super key. Right? So we're going to continue on. And he who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with the one who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. So once again, he's focused. Like, it's James talks about this, like, hey, if you can't bridle your tongue, if you can't control what you say, then he says, what you believe is worthless. Your religion is worthless. He's like, if you can't control what you say, then you can't control what's in your heart. Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? And it's the time here. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, right? We all know, we've been those people who at times, you know, someone's going through some hurt and you're like, but the Bible says be joyful always. It's like, smack, right? Like according to the need of the moment. We need to have the Spirit of God really loving through us, right? Like, let's not just smack people with scripture, right? Like, that's not loving, right? You know, like, But we do need to be we need to be caring about others, right? And we need to be edifying others. So instead of being like, the Bible says, be joyful always, and they're like, yeah, but I just lost my dad, thanks. Like, we can understand, hey, there's scripture that says like, hey, mourn with those who mourn, weep with those who weep, right? You don't have to say, I understand what you're going through. You don't, right? We all have very specific situations where we don't understand what other people are going through, right? Like, my dad has a traumatic brain injury, so he's basically like a 4-year-old in his mind, right? And other people have lost their dad, right? I can go up to them and be like, I know what you're going through. No, I don't, right? We have similar situations. We have similar things, right? Like, I've basically lost my dad. He's still alive, but for all intents and purposes, the dad I knew is dead. It doesn't, we can have pain and we can relate with others, but like, let's not fall into the temptation of saying like, I know what you're going through. That's once again, it's focusing on you, not on them. Instead, like, let's have the heart of weeping with this weak music. Like, hey, I'm so sorry. Like, losing your father, that is hard. Like, that is hard. And I don't even, and you can just be honest, I don't know what to say, right? But I want to be with you, right? Like, and trying to understand what they need. Some people, during that time period, they need space. Some people don't need space, right? Like, they're like, if you leave me alone, I'm going to be super sad all the time and everything of that sort. Like, hey, let's have the heart to really get in people's lives. Guess what? That's going to be messy, all right? This is, like, getting in people's lives when there's hurt is going to be really messy. And we're going to fail, right? You're gonna be with somebody, and you're going to say something that you think is going to be loving or whatever of that sort, and in their hurt, they might respond in hurt. And you might think, well, I tried, and they just blew up at me. Like, I'm backing out. No. Jesus, we kept punching Jesus in the face, and he kept coming after us, right? Like, let's not be like, well, I did the Christian thing, and they kind of blew me off, and so I'm just going to back out. No, be like, hey, I'm sorry, but hey, I'm with you, right? Like, Jesus, like, our culture says, as soon as you're hurt, run away. Jesus says, as soon as you're hurt, keep digging in, right? Love one another. Bear one another's burdens. That's not, like, bearing someone's burden isn't a one-time thing, right? It is a continuous act, and it needs to flow out of, once again, if our identity is that we're a servant of someone else, then guess what? When they come and they have all of these issues, and they might even bombard you with stuff, and it's totally unfair. It's totally unfair for you. You're going to stick in because you're like, my identity is to serve you, not to be served. I'm here, right? You're going to be in the thick of it with them. And so then when you know, the worst of that situation is past, you're gonna have won your brother or sister in a way that is just, it's totally different, right? You know, I remember that when I got the phone call from my mom, and she's like, your dad's in the ICU. It's like, oh, wait, what? Like, what's going on, right? And my brothers and sisters of the church at the time just really rallied around me, that they were, you know, with me continuously, and people were willing to share my hurt, right? And in a very interesting way, one of the sisters that I was super close with, it was actually Amy's, my wife's roommate, had just lost her dad to cancer, right? She wasn't like, oh, I know what you're going through. But she was like, hey, whatever you need, like, I'm here. Hey, if you want to talk about it, because I know it really helped me. She did use her experience she was like, hey, it helped me to talk about it, but it took me a little while to be able to do that. So I, like, if you need some time, but let me know if you need to talk. That helped me, because it was like, oh yeah, maybe I do need time, maybe I don't. I don't know, but I'm going to work through it. But the church family was there, right? They were in my midst for that, right? So that's what we need to be. We need to be the hands and feet to each other, right? And it is going to be messy. Like, guaranteed, going to be messy, right? But it's worth it. It's worth it. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our assembling together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as the day draws near. He's imploring us, hey, we need to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, right? Like, we should, just by being around people and talking to people, they should have a desire to love God more, not a desire to be not around you anymore, right? Like, we know those different people. There was a guy in Wilmington. His last name is Steer. I can't remember.
Scott.
There you go. Scott Steer. This guy, like, I remember David and I were talking about it. We were just like, if I could just be around him 24/7, it would be awesome. Because this guy just was so encouraging. Like, afterwards, I was just like, yeah, I am a child of God. You know, like, this is, this is my identity. Like, he just knew how to, like, build up others. And I was like, man, I need to have that spirit, the same spirit that indwells Scott Steer indwells in me, right? Like, and I was like, we need to be those people. We need to be those people that people walk away and they're like pumped. Either it might be joyfully pumped him or whatever, but they're like, man, I know that person loves me and I feel built up by them, right? Or are we, because of our words, people are walking away and going, oh, I know a lot about them, right? Because we love to share about ourselves, but like, hey, let's be people who ask questions who are in the midst of people's lives, right? Our culture says, like, if somebody's hurting and stuff like that, you're like, oh, I don't know what to do. Maybe they might be offended if I ask them what's going on and everything like that. So no, let's tactfully be in the midst of people's lives, right? If someone's being joyful, hey, what's going on? I didn't hear, but I see you're excited. Like, what's going on? Oh man, I totally thought I bombed this test, but I passed instead. So instead of having to wait another semester to be graduated, I'm gonna graduate this semester. And you can be like stoked for them, like, woohoo, yeah. You know, like, let's get it, right? It's not just about when people are in hurt, but like, let's be joyful for others as well, right? And it's stimulating one another to love and good deeds and not forsaking our own assembling together. Guess what? It is really hard to do all of this if you see people once a week. Like, let's just be real. Like, how can you love one another? I'll just go to the next verse because you can't love one another daily if you're not seeing them daily. Like, let's just be honest, right? Or seeing them regularly. How can you really bear someone's burdens if you're not seeing them regularly? You can't. Like, let's be honest there. You can't, right? So how, like, what do we do about that, right? Sometimes we have to die to our own schedule and our own comfort to care about others, right? We need to actually build relationships with others. So that means we need to figure out how to care about what other people care about, right? Like, it's not just what we care about. We need to figure out how to care about what others care about. So you might have someone who's super stoked to go to this new concert for this band that you have no idea who they are, right? And they're like, yeah, I'm going, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, oh, awesome. When are you going? They tell you and you're like, that's really cool. Like, who are you going with? Like, oh, just me. You know, I really like this band. Well, hey, can I come with you? I don't like concerts. I don't care about music, right? But there's been times where I've done both of those things because I'm like, you know what? I love my brother or sister who really cares about this. I'm going to go. I'm going to have a blast with them and be super excited because of what they're excited about, right? Like, choose to take other people's, what they love and make it what you love. Not because you love that thing, because you love them. Right? Let's be excited about what other people are excited about, right? And small piece of marriage advice for those who aren't married, that's a great thing to take into marriage, right? Because if you come in and you're like, this is all the stuff I like and this is all the stuff they like and we just kind of do our own things, right? Then you're just going to cohabitate, right? Really enjoy especially if you're going to get married, really enjoy what your spouse enjoys, right? And there might be certain things that it's going to take you a little bit of time. Invest in it. So from here, there's a bunch of one another verses, a bunch of them, right? So I just listed off like pieces of them. So I'm just going to blow through, just read the where it says one another. Encourage one another, encourage each other. Build each other up. Encourage one another daily. Once again, daily. How can you do that if you're not seeing each other daily? Do not slander one another. Once again, your words matter. Don't grumble against each other. Words. Confess your sin to each other. Hey, yeah, I'm struggling with this. I need help. So it's not just about going into someone else's life. Invite people into your own life. I'm struggling. I need help. Pray for each other. We need to be on our knees for each other. If we're not praying for each other, like, what are we doing? Right? Like the Spirit of God needs to be moving through us and moving through others, right? Love one another deeply from the heart. I love the, so our culture, we think of the heart as like the root of emotions. And back in that time, they thought of the gut your bowels as the root of the emotions. So they're like, love one another from where your bowels move, right? Like from the innermost being, right? That piece that, you know, we need to love each other deeply, like that it stirs our emotions, right? Like, I can be a fairly stoic individual and like bad things can happen and I can just kind of be like, you know. But we need to learn how to love people, not just in word, but in emotions, like the full package, right? Spiritually, emotionally, physically, right? Like, not just, oh, I'm sorry, right? We need to learn how to stir our emotions for others as well, right? Deeply. Live in harmony with one another. Once again, we need to be unified. Love each other deeply, again. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling, right? So, like, learn to care about others and invite them into your lives, and don't be grumbling about it. Oh, man, we had, like, a bunch of people over, and all the dishes now need to be cleaned, and our house is a mess, and we need to, like, scrub the floors and stuff like that. Sort of, like, sure, you are hospitable, but not really, right? Like, if you're grumbling about it afterwards, your heart wasn't there. Each one should use whatever gifts he has received to serve others. God has given you gifts. Let's not glorify the gift. Let's use it to serve others, right? We have been given gifts to serve the body of Christ, not to puff ourselves up. Clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. Scripture's clear. Be humble, humble towards our brothers and sisters. Greet one another with a kiss of love, right? This is, once again, culturally, that's how they greet each other. Hey, if you want to, you know, figure out culturally how to love one another when you greet each other, so that when someone sees you, they know that, hey, I love them, right? I know a few people who, like, they do a kiss on the cheek when they greet others, and it's like, all right, cool, that's their thing, right? But figure out how to love one another when you see them, that they know that you love them, right? When you greet them, there is love. And then there's just a bunch of love one another, 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 and I left off a bunch. There's like 10 more of just that. I hope that this has been very clear, that Scripture says all of this, right? That this is super clear through Scripture of how we should act towards one another and what our identity should be, right? Like, this isn't what Keegan believes. This is what Scripture teaches, right? This is what the Bible says about our identity and how we interact with each other, right? So, hopefully, through the list of all of these things, there was one thing that kind of punched you in the gut, right? There was like one verse where you're like, ooh, yeah. Like, I know for me, it's the words one, right? Like, am I asking questions? Am I caring about others? Or am I so excited to tell them what's been going on in my life this past day, 2 week? That's, you know, so I really want to encourage other people. I want to focus on others through my words. So what I want us to do is take a little bit of time, either find a verse that you're going to, like, hey, I'm going to memorize this verse, or I'm going to write it down and put it in my pocket, and, like, right next to my phone. So every time I pull out my phone, it's gonna be right there. If you have a phone case, slap it in the back of the phone case or something like that. Like we need to have things that are, if we're gonna do this daily, we need to be reminded daily, right? So it might be that you just write on a piece of paper, I'm a servant. You stick it in your pocket, or you stick it, whatever. You make it your background of your phone, right? So that every time you turn on your phone, you see, I'm a servant, right? Whatever, we need to put this before our minds, because otherwise this is going to be a great thing that we heard on Sunday morning, and it's just going to go on away, right? If it's not before us regularly, it's not going to become a habit, it's not going to be an identity change, right? Let's walk out of here serving one another, okay? So let's spend some time praying, write down what that verse is, or what that action point is that you're going to really, I'm going to do this in this coming week. So let's spend some time doing that, and then I'll close this off in prayer. Lord, I thank you that you're a God who cares. Lord, that you saw all that we were. And it was, there was not a fakeness of your understanding. You saw that we were worthless, that we had hurt you, yet you came for us. Lord, and I pray that we would have that heart to really care about our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, if we can't care about those who have the Spirit of God in them, Lord, then we can't care for this world. Lord, I pray that within our church, Lord, that it would be known that you could receive love, you would be served, but that we would really have an identity of servants of the Most High God and servants of each other. Lord, let that be a ringing bell for us to this campus. Lord, let us be a church of servants. Lord, let these things not fall to the ground, but Lord, let them be implanted deeply within our hearts. We ask this all with Jesus' name. Amen. So before we go to the last song, I want to say, hey, if you aren't a part of one of our midweek discovery groups or midweek churches or anything of that sort, and you're interested in that and really learning how to love one another and be about one another's lives during the week, please come talk to me or Darren or really like any of us up here. Please, we would love to either get you involved with one that's already going on or start something new with you and your friends. So let's be in our lives throughout the week. So please come talk to us about that if you're interested in that. So, sing.